have too many clothes.
I mean,
I don't know how to get rid of them. It's really difficult, right? Because sometimes you can go in your closet and be like, oh, I love this shirt. There's love. There's I might need it later. Mm-hmm. There's I've worn it already. Mm-hmm. Do I need it? Mm-hmm. Maybe. Mm-hmm. There is, oh, I bought that for a moment. Let me keep it. Mm-hmm. Then there's I need to get rid of it. But I find myself always in the place of I love it.
Yeah. That sounds like the thought process of a hoarder.
I just don't feel like the closet spaces in today's world are big enough.
Got it. So it's the closet's issue.
Yeah, it's the closet's issue.
So the three closets.
Yeah.
That actually four. So we have the master.
No, we only have three closets.
Excuse me. We have the master bedroom closet.
Yeah. That I have to share with you.
Uh-huh. And we have the master bedroom, which is a generously sized closet.
Which is it's really good for one person.
It's large.
But I have to share it.
You have the guest room closet. Right. And there's two bedrooms up there.
Yep.
Well, actually, there's three, including the master.
Right.
So every single one of them.
But
full.
Not,
closet full.
Not
and
with
then
clothes.
Down here.
This is this closet?
Yeah.
Can y'all see? That's a. Don't fall. Don't fall. Don't fall. That's not
I'm sorry.
Really...
What is in those bags?
Those are gowns.
Clothes that you
no,
don't
no,
need.
No, not clothes. These are gowns. This is the outfit that I wore to the Barack Obama's inauguration.
There's also like a Pied Piper outfit, like a burlap sack that you tried to make me wear that looks like it literally came from the 1800s that a small boy would wear. It's so cute. I was like, this shit is so itchy. Like, why do you have that? First of all, it doesn't fit you. Second of all, it literally is a burlap sack.
But this is not just the things. Look, babes. This is Poochie.
That you did not wear that to the inauguration.
No, I didn't. This is the inauguration dress. But look, this is, for those who know, wait a minute. Give me a second.
Oh my God, I can't wait what's happening right now.
For those who know what this pattern is, comment down below. Should I bring out the whole thing?
Is it sure, babes?
I can't get rid of this. Do you guys know what this is?
No.
I'll give you 10 seconds. 1, 2, 3.
That's so Raven pajamas.
Yeah. From the music video.
I'm right?
Yeah.
No, I don't think you should get rid of that, but I think you should get rid of the burlap sack.
I can't do that. And look, this is the That's So Raven jacket.
I did not know this was all That's So Raven clothing, but I'm just saying, like...
You just wanted me to get rid of the burlap sack.
Yeah, because that thing is bizarre. And literally, a small boy in the 1800s wore it after he, like, got over scarlet fever. Like, it makes no sense.
Not scarlet fever.
But, like, that's what it was.
Not even the black plague. You just go right to scarlet fever.
I don't know. It was crazy.
Here's the deal. I have a lot of things that I have to hold on to.
I know. And I live amongst them.
I just feel like there's some things I can't get rid of. But that closet's pretty empty. I can come down here a little bit and put some stuff in.
No. Literally, your solution to your things was to buy more things to hold the things. So now we have, like, new dressers and stuff coming. And I think the real solution is just buying a new house.
That's my life. There you go.
Yeah.
I agree. I need more space.
There we go. Holy shit. I don't know. I think we can also call Goodwill and be like, come over and take everything.
Actually, I did a purge of Goodwill before we got married. I got rid of a lot of things.
We've done multiple since as well.
I know. I really love Goodwill. I love Goodwill. I think it's a wonderful place. And when they put it on sales, you can find some really cool things there. Mm-hmm. But you know where else you can find cool things? Inside of a teapot.
I thought you were going to say inside of one of your closets because you have so much shit. You don't know what's in there. And then you go shopping in your own closet and you're like, oh my God, remember this? I'm going in. Today on Tea Time.
Today on Tea Time.
We are discussing. Oh, this is absolutely perfect for what we're talking about already. Guilty pleasures. Because your guilty pleasure is definitely buying shit.
My guilty pleasure is organizing all the shit that I have over and over and over again. I love doing it. Like, I have a ritual. Probably every 6 months, I take everything out of my bathroom. I try to do at least 2 trash bags worth of things, and then I put everything back.
But you know what? That isn't really a guilty pleasure per se, because a guilty pleasure is, from my understanding, something you do mm-hmm. that you get satisfaction or happiness from that you know isn't necessarily good. Organizing is like good.
Okay.
Or something that you feel guilty about. Because like you don't feel guilty after you organize, do you?
I feel guilty that I buy things to organize and that I have to rebuy things to organize because the last things that I bought to organize weren't good enough.
Oh, well, that's a whole cycle of stuff. I understand. That is just riddled with guilt and shame. It is. And you should talk about it in therapy.
I really should.
But okay. Do you have more of like a classic guilty pleasure?
Okay,
like...
classic guilty pleasure. If I don't have socks on and I'm having a conversation with someone, I'll play with my toes.
Oh, that's a good guilty pleasure.
It's really gross. I know I shouldn't do it.
But it nobody brings you joy.
Nobody should see me picking at my baby toenail. But I sit on the couch, especially with like their friends over. I'll tuck my feet and I'll just have it like behind my back. So I'm like fiddling with my baby toe.
And sometimes with me, you won't even.
Oh, no, I don't have to hide with you.
Yeah, you don't hide.
Why should I hide with
you?
And
then it just makes me go like. It gives me chills sometimes because I can hear you flicking the baby toe. Skin or nail or whatever.
Okay, belly button.
Shut up. I wasn't coming for you, really. I was just saying what it does to me sometimes.
Come here. This is what this does to me. There you go.
Oh, thank you. Guilty pleasure when my hair gets stuck in my mic. Yeah.
She can't not touch what I fix. Like, I fix it and then she wants to fuck with it again. And then she can't fix it.
I don't know what to tell you.
I fixed it for you not to touch it.
I just get... This is my guilty pleasure.
Just don't touch it after I touch it, okay?
Right. I can't sit still with my hair. It just drives me crazy. Okay, that's a good guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
I didn't touch it.
Come here. Look at me. I just want... There we go. Don't touch it.
Don't move. Don't breathe. Don't
What's your guilty pleasure?
Okay, well... According to my zodiac sign.
No.
Listen, it kind of adds up.
I love my wife.
According to my zodiac sign, they say that a Leo's guilty pleasure is shopping and a Sagittarius's guilty pleasure is travel planning.
Okay, but what's your guilty? That's not my question. My question was, what is your guilty pleasure?
Okay, a real guilty pleasure, and I'm like, it is obviously a guilty pleasure because I'm reacting this way.
You are.
I feel icky about it. It's like, pop culture, like celebrity news. Like, I enjoy staying on the up and up with like what's happening with J-Lo and Ben and like whose kids are going to college and like the tea on those people. I do. And then I also am like, I don't care. I don't know them. But then I also, it's a guilty pleasure. Like sometimes I lean into the narratives and I listen to all the chatter and then I judge myself for it a little bit. Or I really, the bubble gets burst for whatever reason and I'm listening to somebody and I'm like, you have no idea. Like, you're literally pulling at straws right now, kind of trying to like put pieces together to say that Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck's divorce is actually not a real divorce. It's a hoodwinking of the public because J-Lo's career was tanking. So now they're distracting us with the divorce. Like, no. Guilty pleasure.
What just happened?
They get it. Someone understands it. What do you mean?
Very confused with everything you just said. I'm like, it was just the wheel spinning this whole time.
The wheel's on the bus.
I also do not connect to celebrities or their lifestyle. So when you talk about I definitely just go on buffering mode. Any other guilty pleasures that you would like to tell?
I mean, you called me out about my belly button already, which is true. I've been picking my belly button since I was a young child. It's like, instead of sucking my thumb or having a baby blanket or a pacifier, I picked my belly button. Love it. Guilty pleasure. But I'm not like guilty about it.
She's not guilty about it. I'm not guilty about it.
And you might think it's weird and I don't give a fuck because I do it and it's my thing.
I think a guilty pleasure of yours is treatments and how many you actually get.
No guilt. Pleasure. Just 100% pleasure. No guilt. Here's one for you that I thought of, but I don't think you have any guilt around it.
Okay.
Sitting naked on the toilet
no
for
guilt.
4 hours
no
playing
guilt.
Games.
Not a fucking ounce of guilt.
Literally, okay, 4 hours is an exaggeration.
That's an exaggeration. It's more like 30 minutes. It's like 30 minutes.
I think you probably average a sweet 62.
On the toilet?
Naked. With your
naked,
phone
fair.
Playing games. And
naked?
I think
no.
Games,
naked is 30 minutes. Just clothed is 62 minutes.
I think your games are guilty pleasure.
I do feel guilty about them.
Because you spend money on them. You are addicted to them the way that I'm addicted to TikTok.
No, the way that you're addicted to serums. Because your guilty pleasure should be how many bottles of serums you have in that bathroom, that I am no longer allowed to be in that bathroom because I don't fit.
You didn't want to be in there from the get-go.
I couldn't fit at the get-go.
You could... babes. I could have made space. But I don't have to. You have too many clothes. I have too many serums. What the fuck? It's why we're married. 50, it works.
50-50.
And I touched my hair again. Sue me.
You will if you don't let me fix this part. Okay,
God, clearly I have unruly hair.
All right. I'm trying to think of any other guilty pleasures that I have to confess to.
Well, I have a question.
Yeah.
Do you think that the guilty pleasure is actually a fucked up thing in general? Because it's promoting people feeling guilt for things that actually bring them pleasure. And does that go into the deeper conversation of how the church, for example, like they talk about, like my parents were raised Catholic, and Catholic guilt is such a real thing. And so much of that guilt comes from things that actually are just deriving people of pleasure. So sex, it's like, oh, I have to feel shameful and guilty about having sexual urges or wanting to have sex or enjoying sex. Or I know there's like gluttony with food and things like that, but taking pleasure from these things, like what is the relationship in actuality to a guilty pleasure? And should we even have anything that is linked to pleasure equaling guilt?
I think that you're right. I think it's all the Pope's fault. I am
not the Pope.
Not the Pope. But I do. I think you're I think you're 100% correct. I think that if you get pleasure out of it, if it's not harming anybody else.
Right. Or yourself.
Yourself. Then I think that, yeah, it's unfair to call it a guilty pleasure. There are masochistic things and really negative things that people might get pleasure out of, certain people, mm-hmm. and that should be placed in a category all itself. But I do think you're right when you say guilty pleasure, and it's something like me picking my baby toe, or you with your belly button, or you eating peanut butter, or me, you know, really loving to, you know, do whatever I love to do.
Like watching reality TV.
That's not, you shouldn't feel guilty about doing those things because they're not someone else's norm. They're your norm.
And also, why do we feel guilt? I feel like the only reason I would feel guilt for...
It's embarrassing to some people.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say, though. But like the only reason that I would feel guilt for watching reality TV is because of someone's perception of me for watching trash television. Yeah. Or if I like to talk about celebrity... Yeah. If I like to talk about celebrity culture, the only reason that I have an issue with that is because someone might look at me and be like, I'm buffering. I don't get it.
Yeah, like me.
Yeah.
But judgment. But that's like... You shouldn't feel guilty about it. You just found the wrong person to talk to about it. That's the other thing. It's like, where's the community of toe pickers? Like, I need to be in that community and then I'm welcomed. Do you know what I mean? Where are you? Where's my community?
You need to sit with pedicurists on a regular basis.
Where's my community?
Put that damn foot down. Good God. You really wish you were Tonka.
Oh, Tonka.
That is wild. Tonka is a chimpanzee. We talked about him in another episode. You'll get it. Yeah, I was thinking about that, and I think that guilt is so toxic.
It is toxic, but it's stronger in some communities than it is others.
For sure.
And especially in the Catholic community, everything I feel is just riddled with guilt. Mm-hmm. And in some other communities, Jewish communities, I hear there's a lot of guilt based in that. And
well, religion, in heavily religious belief systems, there is often guilt because you are trying to abolish yourself from sin. So there is...
And they're also trying to create unease within their patron so that they look for help through the church or through the system.
Yeah, I mean, it's all set up so that you can basically cleanse yourself, or you are on this path of redemption to try and then ensure, at least in Catholicism or Christianity, to then ensure your place in heaven. Shame is really toxic, and I wonder how much of it we carry because it's deserved.
I think some shame is deserved. I think we're a little too shameless in today's world. I think everyone is like, everything I do is perfect. It's like, nah. You need to be a little shameful about the way you walked outside today in that outfit. Like, you look a little cray-cray. I'm not allowed to say it. It's not socially acceptable anymore, but that's brand new. You know what I mean? Like, back in the day when I was growing up, this is not correct, but this is what I was taught back mm-hmm. in the day. If you're a certain size, you don't wear certain things. Mm-hmm. If you're a certain size, you can wear certain things. And you guys can fill in the blanks where you may. And nowadays, body positivity, it's like no matter what size you are, you can wear anything. And I think that, yeah, if you feel comfortable in it, 100%. But I think there is also some decorum that happened in the past that we no longer have in today's world because shame has been shamed.
I'm going to challenge you on that a little bit. I think that when it comes to clothing, unless you're like going to the White House, for example, and then you show up in like a thong bikini, or you go to a job interview and you are wearing something that's like very ill-fitting, or you know, you look unprofessional, or you look messy, or you look overly sexy for something that isn't calling for overly sexy. Okay, that needs to be adjusted. We have to address this. But I think that when it comes to shame, the only place that I would put that on anyone is through behavior and through acts. So it's like another human being who intentionally hurts another human being, you should be ashamed of yourself. A person who abuses animals, you should be ashamed of yourself.
I love that.
If you're a person who just doesn't know how to dress themselves or is a little askew and thinks that like you look really good in this, and I don't think you need to carry shame, because shame is truly so toxic. I think you need to maybe adjust or get a perspective switch. But I think that like when it comes to society having shame, I'm happy that more people are feeling more free to self-expression. And the only people that I would look at and be like, shame on you, are, again, people who are inflicting harm on themselves, doing gnarly things, stealing identities, like those people of the
world.
So
I will let you have that argument because you are right. I'm going to say this, though. The shame that I'm talking about is not shame on you. It's the lighter version of shame that your parent might give you if you look crazy when you step outside. It's like a different kind of
I don't think it's
you
shame.
Shouldn't do that. You it's like what is that then?
I think that's like
self-awareness.
Yeah, I was gonna say awareness. I
and
think
a little it's self-awareness. And maybe it's not shame, but it is something that's missing in today's society.
It's a little
that
bit
I
of embarrassment.
Yes,
that puts you in check, that keeps you
kind of in the straight and narrow, moving forward in a respectful way for oneself and one's look. But you are entirely 100% correct. Shame on you needs to be with actions and behavior. I guess shame is the wrong word for what I was trying to express, which is just, you know, look at yourself in the mirror a little bit and, you know, understand that you might look a little crazy when you go outside.
Yeah.
But I counter that with, I love that the new generation is kind of breaking those walls down, but I do think that they're on an overall with this generation lacking a little bit of that mm-hmm. because there's been so much in the past. We want to break free and do whatever we need, and it's like, well, you really shouldn't show up to an interview like that. Well, I'm expressing myself. It's like you
it's
can
like
express
a little bit
yourself.
Of humility.
Humility.
And I also think that there's not that this is a direct correlation, but the invincibility factor that comes with certain personalities and certain age brackets, mm-hmm, people mm-hmm. are like, oh, that would never happen to me. Something that I mm-hmm. was really cognizant of growing up, and it did definitely like border on my anxiety and all of that stuff, but I never thought that I was above a car accident. I never thought I was above being hurt. I never thought that, like, oh, it wouldn't happen to me. I was like, oh no, that certainly could happen to me. I could be kidnapped. I could be assaulted. I could be, you know, robbed. Like, mm-hmm. those things happen, and I'm no different than anyone else. The only thing that I can do to differentiate myself from maybe someone else is make sure that, like, I don't put myself in positions.
And how you react to the situation.
Yeah. And like, I don't put myself in positions where that could happen. I'm not going to be walking around late at night by myself. I'm not taking dark alleys. I'm, you know, like that type of stuff.
It's hard, you know, because like bringing it back to the clothing situation, I can remember the time I was in high school and I wasn't the skinniest girl in school. You can check me out at that age bracket. I got receipts. And I wore like this really, really tight top that kind of showed my belly. And these big pants. It was actually a cute Nike outfit, whatever. My friend came up to me, she's like, you bitch, you are too fat to wear that. And I was like, oh, snap. And I like covered myself up a little bit. And I realized, I'm like, you're right. My stomach isn't as flat as the cheerleader over here. And I'm not as obese as this person. But in her eyes, I could not wear that. Mm-hmm. And my guilty pleasure, or the guilty pleasureness that, just to bring it back to the topic that we're actually having, is like pushing buttons of certain people.
Yeah, that's such a good one.
That is some people's guilty pleasure, because she didn't have to say that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We don't have to go up to someone and be like, your hair is really nice, or you look this way today. I think that, you know, some bullies that we find, they might find guilty pleasure.
Oh, for
and
sure.
Bullying people.
No doubt about it. I think that people find pleasure in manipulating things or getting their outcome, or, you know, trying to put people down all the time, more often than we would probably even want to admit.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the guilty pleasure that we've become so used to, or the guilty pleasures of the world, is like, oh, yeah, like, my guilty pleasure, like my mom, for example, would be like, my guilty pleasure every night is like, you know, my chocolate bar and my warm milk and this, and my, you know, frozen yogurt with extra fudge. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, damn, you bad. But, you know, I think that there are levels of guilty pleasure and how deep it goes. And I don't know. It's, we all have them. Comment down below if you have a guilty pleasure.
What's your guilty pleasure?
Today, we are toasting to Nikki Haskell. Nikki Haskell is in her 80s, and she calls herself the OG influencer. And I love this woman's TikTok because she, first of all, is so put together. She always looks fabulous. And for being someone in her 80s, she really doesn't give off that energy. But she gives advice, and she tells people who are in their 40s and 50s and 60s things that she wishes that she had known at that time. And she reminds people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s that they're not old, and that, you know, 80s is old, but she is still out here living life and doing things and up on social media and engaging and having fun. And I just think she is really cool. And I don't know if she actually is the OG influencer, but she certainly deserves her flowers considering her age and what she's doing.
Maybe when she says OG influencer, she means old ass grandma influencer.
Maybe. You want to see her?
Yeah, I do.
Just take a look.
Oh, Nikki Haskell. I believe she was the woman that was on, I just saw her pop up on my feed.
Mm-hmm.
And when she was much younger, probably in her late 30s, early 40s, she was on a talk show. And she was all dressed up, all put together. And the women in the audience were like, well, what if men look at you and over-sexualize you? She was like, I hope they do. I got dressed. I look beautiful. Only time it really bothers me is when I'm trying to sign a contract. But and they were like, well, maybe you shouldn't wear that out in public because you'll get all these stares. She was like, if I can't do it in heels, I'm not doing it. I think that's that woman. And I love her for that. There are true feminine females that embody a very overtly feminine attitude in their clothes and the way they dress. And she is definitely one of them. I would actually call her the OG.
Influencer,
I would call her
yeah.
The OG. Yeah. I just saw that video on her.
Interesting. Well, that's who our toast goes out to today, because I think she's inspiring, and everyone should check out her TikTok because she has some, you know, fun little anecdotes.
If you have any guilty pleasures, don't forget to put them in the comments. We'll talk about them.
I wonder what Nikki's guilty pleasure is. Probably
lip liner.
Chanel No. 5.